This is wonderful, because I tell you, there's something really exciting about a congregation that cares about missions. I've been very fortunate that in the last 7 years, I've been connected with a church in Santa Barbara, Calvary Chapel, Santa Barbara. And that's a church with a genuine heart for missions. I can't deny it. We support a lot of missionaries. We do a lot of missions works and missions trips. But at the very most, we have a missions Sunday every year. We don't have a missions month. So I want to say, I salute you guys. And it's a wonderful thing because it really is God's heart for the world. Now, God cares about the community we live in. We never want to deny that. And we never want to think that having a concern for missions or missionary work around the world is a replacement for care about our community. But we believe in the Christian life in many ways. We can and we should be able to chew gum and walk at the same time. We can have a concern for our community and do what we can to reach out, to reach the place where we live, and have a heart for God's heart to reach the world around us. So I just think it's a wonderful thing. I'm very happy to be here. I'm even more happy because my wife Inga Lil is with me. Inga Lil, say hi. Now part of me just says I should just have Inga Lil and Janelle come on up and tell their stories about the dental missions work that they together have done in many parts of the world. And that's a great story right there because it's just out doing things that I don't think I could do. I might faint if I had to do some of the things they do with dental work. But it really is a wonderful thing to be able to serve God, to minister to people with the love of Jesus, with the message of the gospel, any way that he gives us the opportunity to do it. Now, what I wanted to speak to you about tonight is something that might be kind of familiar with you. And I hope that when I say the subject of what I'm going to speak, I hope I don't lose you immediately. Stay with me. Give me at least a good 10 minutes. And if I can't hold your interest for 10 minutes, well, then after that, you can just, well, don't obviously take out your phone and do things. Be at least sly about it. Pretend like you're looking up a Bible verse or something on your phone. But in any regard, stick with this because this might be something that when you think about missions, you just maybe, you might even roll your eyes just a little bit. What I'm going to talk to you about tonight is how to pray for your missionaries. And the reason why you might roll your eyes is missionaries are always asking for prayer, aren't they? And some of us get a little bit cynical when we hear missionaries ask for prayer. We hear missionaries ask for prayer, and sometimes, now I don't think any of you are this cynical, but I'll just say I've met some people that think this way. They think, oh, what they're really asking for is money, and they're just saying prayer. Well, listen, I don't think there's anything wrong for a missionary asking for support because they actually, you know, need some kind of financial support to get by. But let me tell you something. When a missionary asks for prayer, they're really asking for prayer. It is so true, and I can tell you this from my experience serving on the foreign field for 7 years, because my wife, Inga Lil, and I and our family, we served the Lord at directing a Calvary Chapel Bible College campus in Germany for 7 years. I know the value of prayer. And to bring that before your heart and mind here this evening, I want us to begin in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, reading verses 18 and 19. So please give your attention to that. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. Paul writes and he says this. Now, of course, as you noticed in our section when we had the scripture reading this evening, the scripture reading started way back at verse 10, and I'm grateful that it did because it gives you the context. Paul has that amazing section starting at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, where he speaks about the spiritual warfare that we all experience as believers. By the way, if you don't experience any spiritual warfare as a believer, then you're just losing all the time and you don't even know it. But we all experience the spiritual warfare and we're given special equipment from God, spiritual armor after the analogy of the armor that a Roman soldier would wear in order to fight that battle. But at the end of all of the spiritual warfare section, at the end of describing the battle that's to be fought, at the end of describing the armor of God that we're given, at the end of describing the stand we're supposed to make, I want you to see what Paul does at the very end of this section talking about spiritual warfare and spiritual armor, starting now at verse 18, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul here, as a missionary, asked the Ephesians to pray for him. And when he asked for prayer from the Ephesians, there's many aspects of this request that teach us about how we can pray for missionaries. But I tell you, it's so needful. It's so needful for us to pray for those who serve on the foreign field. And I know that after the 7 years we had on the foreign field, and those were blessed years, I believe it was a very effective ministry that God gave us to do there. Ingalil and I are both persuaded that whatever God accomplished in those years, it was because people prayed for us. And now, in the ongoing work that I have, I don't hesitate to tell people, please pray for me. Pray for me in the work that I do. Now, yes, I'm a part-time pastor at the Calvary Chapel in Santa Barbara. I teach there, but I also have a ministry that writes Bible commentary and provides those resources to people absolutely for free all around the world. And a big part of the ministry that I have is not only putting that commentary into English so that the whole world can get it, whatever can read English, but you and I know that a lot of the world doesn't speak English. And so it's on my heart to have my commentary translated as much as I can into other major languages of the world. I'd really appreciate it if you keep that work in prayer. My commentary is almost completely translated into Spanish. Just one book remaining, Ezekiel. And a matter of fact, by the end of this month, Ezekiel should be up on my website, enduringword.com. Praise the Lord. The whole commentary is translated into Spanish. There's on my website some books of the Bible translated into German. Some books of the Bible translated into simplified Mandarin. That is the most common written Chinese language. And the work I'd especially like you to pray for, please pray for the work we're doing, getting my commentary translated into Arabic. I think it's a significant project. You think about it with the Chinese language, there's 100 million Chinese-speaking believers. 100 million. They need good Bible resources, and there's not a lot of materials out there for them. You think of the Arabic world, how much do Arabic believers need good Bible resources? And so again, just put it on your prayer list. I'm not shy about asking for that. If the Apostle Paul asked for prayer, how much more should David Guzik? Just pray. Pray for me. But one of the reasons why I'm bold enough to ask for that prayer is I've seen God answer prayer so many times. One of the great things about our Bible college work in Germany was we would have students who would go out and travel and do ministry. Sometimes they would travel as part of what we called Outreach Week, and this was great. We sent the students out on teams all over Europe and sometimes beyond. For example, one time we sent a team to Iraq, and we sent them all over, and they just did work in wonderful ways, and it was great. So sometimes the students would go out on Outreach Week, but other times they would just take a long weekend from school, go somewhere, and look to do some ministry somewhere. One time, we had a group of 3 or 4 guys go, and they wanted to go down to Rome and help out the Calvary Chapel pastor in Rome. And you know what? They got hopelessly lost in Rome. You know, there's a level of being lost where you don't even know how lost you are. That's how lost these kids were. And nobody knew how to contact them. Nobody knew how to find them. I got kind of a panicked call from the pastor of the Calvary Chapel in Rome. And he said, David, I don't know where these guys are. I saw them and they were leaving on the wrong bus. And before I could get to it, they were gone. And I don't know where they are. I don't know how to get them back. I don't know what's going on. Working with students for that long, sometimes you get a little hardened. Pastor Brent told me that the verse that immediately came to his mind was The Son of Man has come to save and to seek the lost. I had to confess that the verse that came to my mind immediately was, let the dead bury the dead. Those kids can take care of themselves. But praise the Lord, Pastor Brent was down there with them, and we immediately put people to praying. And let me tell you, I won't go through the whole story, but I'll just say, it was something of a miracle how God brought those kids and Pastor Brent together, and it was an answer to prayer. But listen, you talk to anybody who's gone out there and sought to serve the Lord out on the extremities of God's work, out in difficult places where you need big faith and a big vision, you see God do big things. Talk to my wife and to Janelle about their dental work. It's a time of prayer, and God answers prayer in a big way. Therefore, when your missionary friends, with those missionaries that have contact with this congregation, when they ask you to pray for them, they're not messing around. They want prayer. And I'll tell you something, that over the years, I've kind of found that when I encounter missionaries who are having a very tough time, the ministry is joyless. There's lots of conflict. There's lots of depression. There's continual financial problems. There's family strife and all the rest of it. Sometimes I wonder, how strong is their prayer support? Now, I wouldn't automatically say that the problem is a lack of prayer support, but I wouldn't be so quick to say that that isn't the problem. Now, the way Paul wrote in this passage makes it very clear, prayer for missionaries matters. When he asked them to pray for all the saints, certainly that includes missionaries. So let's just take a look at those two verses. Verses 18 and 19 of Ephesians chapter 6. And I think we can draw many helpful principles about how to pray for missionaries just from those two verses. Number one, pray for missionaries at all times. Isn't that what it says? Praying always with all prayer. Praying always. What does that mean? It means praying always. Pray a lot for your missionaries. Now, Jesus, of course, is the most striking example in the Bible of the importance of prayer. Because if the incarnate Son of God prayed the way he did, how much more should any of us, and how much more do any of us need the prayers of God's people? And remember again, the context of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. This is spiritual warfare. The spiritual battle is always being fought. Listen, I don't think I can say anything complimentary about the devil, but I will give him this. He's a hard worker. I don't know that he ever takes a vacation. And since that spiritual battle is always being fought, we always need to support missionaries with prayer. Prayer is how we fight this spiritual war, and we must be ready to fight at all times. Number two, pray with all prayer. All kinds of prayer. Pray with prayer in private, prayer in public, church prayer, closet prayer, family prayer, spoken prayer, wordless prayer, kneeling prayer, closed eye prayer, open eye prayer, that's better than prayer when you're driving, sitting prayer, walking prayer, poetic prayer, groaning prayer. Pray for missionaries using all of those. There's lots of people I know that at their family dinner table, they have maybe bookmarks or missionary cards from the missionaries their churches support, and they make it a point at every meal to pray for one of those missionaries. What a wonderful thing! Pray for these missionaries, and pray with all prayers. Brief prayers are great. If you want to pray for my work, it's fine with me if you just make mention of me in prayer. Lord, bless Pastor Dave and his work of commentary and translate into a bunch of languages. I'd be absolutely ecstatic if you'd put that on your prayer list. Brief prayers are okay. General prayers are okay. Making mention in prayer is okay. Paul uses the phrase making mention in prayer at least four times in his letters. Don't feel that, well, I mean, if I don't spend 20 minutes laboring in intercession for this missionary, what's the use? I don't believe it works like that. Now, please, there may be times and places where it's perfectly appropriate for you to spend that 20 minutes laboring in intercession for that missionary, for that need, especially if there's a crisis or an immediate need. But let me tell you this. It is wonderful and good and helpful to pray brief prayers, to make mention in prayer. That's a good thing. Number three, pray with all perseverance. That's how Paul told them to pray, isn't it? Praying always with all prayer means to persevere in prayer. That means not giving up in your prayer. Brothers and sisters, if Satan can get us discouraged in prayer, then it doesn't matter how tough you look in the full armor of God. I suppose there's a fair number of soldiers that look great in the uniform, but can't do much fighting out on the field of battle. I don't know what good that is in warfare, but man, you look snappy in that uniform. And we may look great all decked out in the full armor of God. Well, what do you do with the full armor of God? You go out and pray. The key to perseverance is simply to keep on praying. And I'll tell you this, your missionaries long that you would continue, to pray for them. I know of one wonderful missionary family. Now, and for the last several years, they serve in Cambodia. I was interested to hear about your missionaries in Cambodia. I wonder if they know each other. But this dear family, before they served as missionaries in Cambodia, they served as missionary family for many years, faithfully serving the Lord in Poland. And you know what they did to get people to pray for them as they served God in Poland? They put out what they called the Potato Prayer Challenge. Because apparently in Poland, you eat a lot of potatoes. And they told people, if you would, every time you ate a potato, would you pray for them and their work? What a great way to persist in prayer. Because you're always eating French fries or whatnot. Every time you eat a potato, think of this family, pray for them. I thought it was a wonderful thing. Anything to get us to remember how to persist in prayer. So again, think about what you can do to trigger prayer persistently in your life for your missionaries. Now there's a fifth aspect here, or actually a fourth. Pray with all supplication. Again, look at the words Paul writes. He says, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Do you understand what supplication is? Now, prayer is a very general word for communication with God. Prayer can be talking with God. Worship is a form of prayer. Prayer can be listening to God. Prayer is a very broad term. Supplication is a little more specific. Supplication is actually asking God for something. When we make supplication, we're not just making mention in prayer, which is a good thing. It's not just saying, Lord, bless this. It's saying, I'm going to ask God for something in regard to the ministry of these people. You pick a missionary, you get a sense of what one of their needs may be. Maybe they've clearly stated it. Maybe you just know. Missionaries always need support. Missionaries always need encouragement. Missionaries always need spiritual power. Missionaries always need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So you pray specifically, Father in heaven, I pray for these missionaries, and I pray that you would pour out upon them an outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Please do this. You see, sometimes our prayer just doesn't ask for anything. When we put on our spiritual armor, it's good for us to ask God to do things. And there's a lot of things that we can confidently ask God for. And again, patterned after the prayer, because you say, I don't know what to pray for our missionaries for. Well, hopefully they'll tell you. But I'm here to tell you now, even if you have no clue what the specific prayer requests are for your missionaries, I can tell you many things that I know you can pray for them about. And you know where I'm going to draw these from? I'm going to draw these from the requests that Paul made for prayer from the churches that he wrote to. If you ever want to do a great little Bible exercise, and actually I'm going to cheat for you and give you it right here. You could just take notes and do it yourself. But compile Paul's prayer requests and take a look at them with me right now. First of all, look at Romans chapter 15, verses 30 through 32. You can pray a prayer based on these verses. Romans chapter 15, verses 30 through 32. He says this, "Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God." Just pause right there. Do you see what Paul just said? Paul didn't just ask for prayer. What did he do? He begged for prayer. Good heavens, there's the Apostle Paul begging. Are you going to leave him dry? Well, no, the same way. Our missionaries, if they could, they wouldn't just ask for prayer. They'd beg for it. Anyway, let's start again. I get sidetracked sometimes. He says, "Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I might be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable for the saints, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you." Now, there's a lot I could unpack in those verses, but let me just give you one point to pray for you missionaries. Pray that your missionaries' service would be acceptable to God. Isn't that what we want? Look, every missionary who serves the Lord sometimes wonders, is this worth it? Is God honored by this? Is this going anywhere? Am I just spinning my wheels? What's happening here? What a beautiful thing for it to be true in fact and for the missionary to have the assurance of it in their heart. My service is acceptable to God. And if Paul asked the Romans, pray for me that my service would be acceptable to God, don't you think that's a good thing for you to pray for your missionaries? Here's the second thing. Again, from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. I'm trying to move sequentially through the books of the Bible here. He says, I'll read these verses again. We've already read them, but there's no harm in doing it again. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." Here's what you can pray for based on these verses. Pray that your missionaries have bold and effective words. There is something about serving God in another culture that sometimes can suck all the boldness out of a person. Sometimes it's just the fact that it's another culture. Sometimes there's language differences. Sometimes it's spiritual warfare. But whatever it is, every person who serves God in any way, whether they're speaking before an audience, whether they're speaking to a church, whether they're speaking on a street corner, whether they're just conversing with their neighbor who doesn't yet know Jesus, they want to be able to speak bold, effective words. Do you see that Paul asked believers to pray for him? Would you please pray for me that God gives me bold, effective words? Listen, if the Apostle Paul needed prayer for that, how much more the missionaries connected to and supported by this church? Here's another place we can learn from. Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. I love this one. We read here, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." All right, that verse just kind of expands my brain a little bit. Do you see what Paul said here to the Philippians? I know that this will turn out for my deliverance. I know that I will be delivered. And why will Paul be delivered? Look at what he says next in that verse. Through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We almost think that Paul should have just wrote the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. But he said, through your prayer. Now, Paul was confident that he would be delivered, and that deliverance would come through their prayer and the supply of what Jesus brought. And if you were to ask Paul, maybe interview him, and say, hey, Apostle Paul, what if the Philippians don't pray for you? Say, well, then I don't know so much if I'm going to be delivered. He said, well, wait a minute, Paul, don't you believe in the sovereignty of God? Paul would say, yes, of course I do. But I also know in the power I believe in, I should say, the power of prayer. Brothers and sisters, I'm not here this evening to try to split the atom in trying to discover how God's sovereign, eternal, predestined, preordained plan fits together with human agency and human activity. All I'm here to tell you is that God in heaven wants you to know and wants you to believe that your prayer matters. Did Paul believe that the prayer of the Philippians mattered? Absolutely. Matter of fact, he believed it mattered so much that he linked his deliverance to their prayer and the supply of Jesus. So what do you pray? You say, Lord, I want to pray for this missionary. Turn it to their deliverance. I pray that you would deliver them in their struggle, in their work, in their effort. Bring your rescue. Bring your power to them. And I know it almost sounds crazy, but it's true. Your prayer can move the hand of God. Isn't that staggering? One of the most evil lies that Satan ever whispers into our ear. And I think usually he's whispering this one instead of shouting it. There's other things that the devil likes to shout at us, but there's some things that he likes to whisper to us. And one of the most terrible lies that the devil whispers in our ears is to tell us, your prayer doesn't really matter. God's going to do what God's going to do. Now look, I believe that God's going to do what God's going to do, but also believe in some way that I can't fully figure out, our prayers matter. And Paul believed it too. Here's another one. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. I love this one. Paul said this, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving, meanwhile praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. Paul writing this from his prison cell. The chains are clanking on his wrists as he writes or dictates this letter to the Colossians. He tells them first in these verses, hey, keep praying. But then he doesn't mind saying it all. Praying also for us. And what did Paul pray for? Listen, Paul did not pray, get me out of these chains. Although he wanted to be done with those chains, no doubt. The greatest desire of Paul's heart was open a door for the word. Oh, what a beautiful thing for you to pray for your missionaries. What a beautiful thing for you to go out to some of the pictures and some of the names out there in the hallway right outside these doors and look at some of those and just simply pray for them now and to make a point to pray for it later. Lord, for this particular missionary, open up a door for your word. What a beautiful, powerful thing. Because preachers and others who proclaim the word of God, they know what it's like to proclaim it with a closed door, and they know what it's like to proclaim it with an open door. Can I tell you, open door is much better? And how does the door get opened? Look, at least one way that the door gets opened is through prayer. Going on, we just got a couple more of these verses here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25. Look at this one, and I love this one. He just says this, brethren, pray for us. That's all he says. What are you going to pray if you just pray for somebody? I don't know. Here's a good one. Lord, bless them. Isn't that a great all-purpose prayer? Yeah, you can go deeper. You can get more specific. I've just been telling you how to go more specific, and that's great. But if all you have the moment of mind to pray for is, Lord, bless them. Just ask any missionary. They say, I'll take that one. Give me that one. Because what I need is the blessing of God. And then finally, finally doesn't mean I'm done yet with this message. I'm getting done with this list. In Proverbs, it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And sometimes if the preacher gives people the hope that the message is going to end right away, you get what I'm saying. 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Here's one more way that we can pray for our missionaries. Here's the verse. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. Listen, if I see this many people out at Calvary Chapel Orlando on a Sunday night, I know God's doing something good in this congregation. And I know that many of the missionaries that you support, that you pray for, that you care for, that you financially support, they would be absolutely blessed out of their mind if God gave them a church the size, the health and the strength of the church right here, Calvary Chapel Orlando. If the church of that strength, that vitality would be transferred over there. Yes, this is exactly what I've been praying for. Do you see that that's what Paul asked prayer for? Look at those words again. Pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified just as it is with you. Thessalonians, the work that God is doing among you, we want to see God do that work everywhere. Because God isn't confined to any one nation, any one language group, any one ethnic group. God wants to do His marvelous work all over the world. As a matter of fact, we say, Lord, You've been building up Your church in mighty ways outside the Western world. Continue to do it. Pretty soon we're going to be praying, Lord, make our work as wonderful and vital as their work. Now, going back to our original text, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. Here's another way that we can pray, is pray for all the saints. And let me read to you that again. He says, praying always. Did you catch him back at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 and 19? Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, I could go in a long time talking about what all the saints are. But today, when you're thinking about all the saints, you're thinking beyond yourself. And brothers and sisters, there is nothing wrong and everything right about praying for your needs, your hurts, your challenges, your ministry, your whatever it is, your future, your past. It's all wonderful for you to bring that before God about what's going on in your life. You have a Father in heaven who's invited you to pray that way. But don't let your prayer end with your needs. Do you get what I'm trying to say here? I'm trying to be very careful so that not one single person here this evening feels guilty about praying for your own needs. Don't feel guilty about it. You have a Father in heaven. He wants you to pray for those things. But make your prayer go further than yourself. It's like what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 14, verse 7. He said, none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. We are all connected in the body of Christ. And so we should pray for each other and for our missionaries. The next thing we see in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 and 19, and this will be the last point I make here this evening, that we should pray in the Spirit. Let me read that to you. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. I save that one for last. Because when you pray in the Spirit, you've really said everything you need to say about the right kind of prayer, haven't you? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, Paul reminded us that it is only through the Holy Spirit that we have access to God. This is what he says in Ephesians 2:18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. The Holy Spirit is our access. Jesus is our mediator. Jesus is our way. But the Holy Spirit is our access. And the vital element of prayer is not kneeling. Though can I just say a word this evening promoting kneeling prayer? I don't know when the last time is that you got down on your knees to pray before your God in heaven. But it's a good thing to do. If it's been a long time since you've actually knelt before God in prayer, look for a time this week to do it. You don't need to do it as a show or a display, but between you and your Creator. But that being said, we all know that the critical element in prayer is not kneeling. It's not standing. It's not sitting. It's not having your eyes opened or having your eyes closed. It's not praying audibly or inaudibly. The vital element to prayer is to pray in the Spirit. You think about it in New Testament times. The Pharisees, the religious leaders of Jesus' day, they prayed a lot, didn't they? They didn't pray in the Spirit. If you think about it, being carried away in emotion while you pray, that's not necessarily being praying in the Spirit, is it? No, I think one way we can pray in the Spirit is to recognize the person, the presence, and the power of the Holy Spirit, and to ask Him to help us pray. That's one step forward to praying in the Spirit. But ask God to give you the grace and the wisdom to not only pray for your missionaries, but to pray in the Spirit. I think there is no greater work that we can perform. Now, you have some interest in reaching the world for Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. God bless you. I'm happy you're here this evening, and I want to encourage you in that work. But I want you to know that you can do a great work for missions work around the world through prayer. It was said of Hudson Taylor. Have you heard that name? Hudson Taylor was the great missionary who opened up inland China for the work of the gospel in the 19th century. At the very end of his life, he was sick. He was infirmed. He was confined to a bed. At the very end of his life, Hudson Taylor could not do what he had spent decades of his life doing. He traveled around China. He preached the gospel. He planted churches. He encouraged and helped Christian workers and missionaries all over the nation. He was one of these tireless workers for the sake of Jesus Christ. But at the end of his life, there he is, confined to a bed, unable to the natural eye, unable to do anything. What did he do? He had a great big map of China put on the wall opposite his bed. And he would look up from his bed and look at that map of China and simply pray for the places and the people that he knew, one by one, doing that work of prayer in the final stage of his life. He spent hours and hours looking over that map and praying for those people and places. And he continued that work in prayer even when he couldn't be there in person. If I told you, you can be an effective cross-cultural servant for God like Hudson Taylor, you might say, if you knew the story of his life, no way, I can. Yes, you can. Prayer is that opportunity given to every believer to do a great work for God, especially on the foreign field. So may I encourage you? Pray for your missionaries. Father in heaven, we remember that when the disciples came to you, when they came to Jesus, the Son of God, they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. And Lord, sometimes it's just that simple for us in our life. We need you to teach us to prayer, to actually do it. And so, Father, I pray right now that there wouldn't be any lingering guilt or condemnation from a message like this. I pray, Lord, that no one would leave here tonight sort of stinging from a sense that there's such a failure in prayer and they're sort of hopeless in this area. Lord, whatever Satan would hope to accomplish by such a strategy of condemnation, we rebuke that in the name of Jesus. And instead, Lord, we say, would you open up our heart and mind to the marvelous opportunity and potential that is ours through your open invitation to us, for us to pray for our missionaries. Help us to do it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.